Hi, Kelly Wirt here with Grace-Based Families. Today's episode is going to be part of a conversation about bringing grace into the workplace. In this series of episodes, we are going to talk to leaders and innovators in the marketplace, hear their stories, and learn how living out a gracious life at work has transformed the culture of their companies, as well as improved their own experiences at work, a place where many of us spend a huge percentage of our lives. Please share this episode with anyone in your life who could use some grace at work.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Kimmel, and this is a special edition of the Grace-Based Families podcast. Usually, Karis and Michelle here are holding court, and we love how they do that, but they've allowed us to kind of take over their microphones and visit with you about a new book that I've written with a colleague and dear friend of mine named Michael Tooker. This book is called Grace at Work, The Secret to Getting More from Your Job Than a Paycheck. And this is a timely book. It's a long overdue, and you're going to find that you won't find another book written quite like this or for this subject, because it's all about how to bring God's active grace to work with you and in the process have a game-changing impact on you and everybody in that work environment. And I welcome my friend Michael Tooker along the way. By the way, it's an interesting story how we met, and it's all unpacked in a book. You will find that it has been an adventure from the beginning, how God got a hold of this man and his wife and connected all of us together and then really got a hold of his heart and made him an emissary of his grace.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate the warm introduction there, and I'm excited to visit with you here and have a chance to visit with our listeners as well. So why don't we dig in?
Well, you know, also I need to add that Like I say, Michael, you know, with his training and his MBA training and all this stuff and just the giftedness that he has, he just does very well in executive leadership. And so there was a friend, mutual friend, that was coming back into a company that really needed some octane and horsepower of Michael's caliber, and he brought him in with him. But they both were people that believed that God's active grace could play a center stage role in a company, whether the company was owned by Christians, ran by Christians or not. And they decided to take this on, and he's not writing from theory, he's writing from practice in this book. You know, they saw that sure enough, it makes a big difference. I mean, think about it. People say, really, you think God's grace could have that much of an impact on the marketplace? I said, okay, let me ask you. If we could go back in time with the same economies we have now, but Jesus decides to visit the earth to buy us from our sin, and we happen to hire him on to our company as he's making some money along the way, do you think your company would be any better?
Yes.
And the answer is obviously, well, guess what? He doesn't have to be there in person because he lives in us and we're there. And that's what this book's about, is how to make that happen. But it's also very timely, I think, because there's some things that we're facing now that are throwing some real challenges at the marketplace.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Tim. I've always found that God's timing is perfect. It may not be what I would hope or you would hope, but what his timing, what is somebody once said that he's never early, but he's always on time.
Yes.
And if you look about this project took about 7 years for us from literally that moment when you said, hey, why don't you write the book to you know, the day of the release. And in that time and in this moment in time, right, there's this great resignation on the heels of the global pandemic.
Some people know what that means, but put that in English for the people that may not be familiar with the term.
Great resignation. Yeah, the great resignation, or it's also called quiet quitting or quick quitting. It's this dynamic in the workplace right now where there is a massive amount of people that are just exiting the workplace. Mm-hmm. And not just shifting jobs, but just exiting. And just millions and millions of people that are choosing to not work. Mm-hmm. And so it's a kind of at an unprecedented level in American history and world history. And so there's this, what we believe, I mean, Tim, you and I are certainly of the belief that this book is very timely.
Yes, it is.
Because historically, the research has always proven that people don't leave companies or jobs. They leave their manager. They leave their leader because there's something in that relationship that's not working. It's mm-hmm. unhealthy. And so I think this pandemic, my belief is that it's just aggravating that low-grade headache that many people have with their leader. And so what this book is all about is how do you really focus on relationships with your peers? And our belief, right, is that if you can get those relationships right, and if you can temper those relationships with grace, this book not only has the ability to give people a greater sense of fulfillment and purpose in their work, and change the culture of work, but also be an antidote to the Great Resignation, to give people hope that they can stay in their job and still find joy in it and not have to go elsewhere or just quit altogether.
Yeah, I think the quarantining and working at home and technology caused a lot of people to rethink who they are and what they're doing. And I agree with Michael that usually it points to a management issue or a conflict with somebody, but those also represent the culture of, they create the culture and the environment, the atmosphere at work. And so when that atmosphere at work becomes something that is just odious, either they resign or they just stop. They just play their position, but they're not trying to move it forward. They're sitting in place at work, and they need the money, they need the paycheck, but they're not contributing. This book is about how to change that in your mind, in your heart, as well as have an impact on your company, because what we unpack in this book is something that's going to absolutely renew your mind and reinvigorate your life when it comes to how you view work. And what you do when you come to work, and how you deal with the people you work with, it's really going to have a huge impact there, because see, God has called us as followers of Him to be emissaries, to be light, to be salt in a world that really needs some flavoring and needs some insight, and we can do that at work. But many times that's just the last thing that is on our mind. And so we're going to show you in this book how to be empowered by embracing what God wants to do through you at work. And here's the big thing about this book. It's how to bring God's active heart of grace into many times a very hostile, antagonistic, hard to deal with environment that you call work. Now, some people may just love their job, love the people they work. Good for you. Unfortunately, you represent more the minority than the majority in this. But even if you are that, you have a chance to do something great in this.
Yep, absolutely. And Tim, one of the questions that we're often asked is, hey, who's this book for?
Yeah.
And I will say, I think there's really something for everyone in this book. But I think where it's really relevant, where people that are kind of that mid-level manager, individual contributor, all the way through these C-suite executives and you know, including owners of the company, This book can really resonate, because oftentimes people in those types of roles are looking for a blueprint to say, how can I change the culture? How can I improve the situation with my team? How can I get people more engaged? But this book is also for, you know, anyone who's struggling with a sense of purpose or fulfillment in their work, someone who's really committed to finding more. Because you know, some people they're not really searching for it. But I think if you're a believer who's really seeking more out of your work and wanting to bring more to work, this is for you. It's also really, like I mentioned, those people looking for a blueprint to say, what can I do? I've tried gimmicks. I've tried gift cards and reward programs. I've tried comp time. I've tried a bunch of different things, ping pong tables, whatever. If you're finding those things don't really work the way you intended, this book's for you. And I think also anyone who really wants to have a positive influence on the culture of their company, this is definitely for people.
I think a lot of those things you mentioned are nice tries, but they tend to be cosmetic. They're not substantive. And this book is something that because it emanates from you as the employee or the employer's heart, And through your relationship with the Lord, you are bringing power to work with you that is beyond the standard human scape. And so you're gonna love the anecdotes in this book because you're gonna see yourself in it over and over again. Listen, so many people go into the workplace and they find that they are dealing with stuff that's been as old as working in a job after Adam and Eve fell in the garden. You know, when the curse was put on us and work went from being something that was going to be this great highlight of our relationship with God to now a true chore, some sweat labor, and dealing with a lot of goofy people. It's not uncommon for people to say, I just don't get any joy from my job anymore. I don't feel like I make any difference. My job lacks purpose. I thought working would be more fun. And then the big myth that is always thrown out at high school and college graduations, find something that you truly enjoy doing and do that for a living. You know, well, you know, for a lot of people, if they could find that, they'd be able to live in their parents' basement and wear their Star Wars pajamas and play video games all day. But nobody's going to pay you for that. So work can be tough there, but the whole concept of finding a job that you love is a very Western, somewhat American thing, but that doesn't even compute with most of the people in the world who have very tedious jobs that they have no choice over. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I think it inclines us to want to go to work to get something from it. This book is going to make it show you that maybe from the beginning, when it comes to you and work, God never meant for it to be something so much that you get from it, but something you bring to it. And that stuff that we bring to it is so transforming of the workplace, the people you work with, and to you as an individual.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Tim, you mentioned just the what people not getting anything from work or struggling right with that low grade, you know, fever, if you will, of discontent. And the problem too, we're kind of in a moment in kind of the history of our country and the world where oftentimes the workplace it espouses values in the workplace that are antithetical to our values as a Christian.
Right.
And there's so much hostility right now, and there's so much polarization. And so what's difficult is, you know, we find ourselves as Christians sometimes in a workplace that's kind of a hostile environment, and where if we speak up and say anything about that, right, it could bring scorn to the gospel. And our job, it really, as opposed to a real sense of purpose, it just becomes more of a means to an end. And like you said, that joy kind of gets wrung out. And in the process, when we check out on that maybe that greater purpose of work, people around us, we just kind of write them off, right? And mm-hmm. we behave in a way, or the people around us behave in this way that it just, we feel like at least we're in a no-win situation. Mm-hmm. Like things happen, and for instance, if somebody says something that's a bit, you know, off color or rude or crass, you know, if we laugh, right, that compromises our beliefs as values. But to not laugh is casting judgment, because so many people look at Christians as this judgmental, kind of holier than thou, group of people. And so, you know, we end up, we just bring all that frustration home with us to work or home from work to our families. And so then it starts to affect, it bleeds into our family life and to our friendships. And so that's really what, when we get into this book, you know, the punchline of it is, look, that God had this, a perfect blueprint for work. But because of, you mentioned Adam, you know, because of what happened in the garden, that blueprint was stained. And furthermore, we have these myths, right, that have just been kind of popularized.
Right.
And so we buy into these myths about work. And at the end of the day, our buying into those things causes us to really struggle. And work can't deliver what we think it can. And so we just find ourselves stuck.
Grace-based families, we're all about helping people bring God's grace to the forefront of all areas of their lives, and this includes our lives at work. Whether you work from home, work in an office, or are running your own business, how we treat the people we work with can define the culture around us and make or break how we experience our lives at work. Our ministry is excited to be launching a great new resource called Grace at Work. a book by Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker. Find out more about the book at graceatworkbook.com. Now back to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
Well, this book ultimately shows you what you can bring to work when it comes to the relational part that you play. And no matter whether you're bottom of the food chain in that work thing or you own the place, we mm-hmm. all engage with people. And as people of the way, the truth, and the life, we have a way to engage with them in such a way that it can really change the culture, the temperature, the atmosphere of that work. And here's the bottom line of this book. We can summarize the whole point of this book in one sentence. It's that when we go to work, we should treat the people we work with the way God treats us. And God is dealing with you and me in grace. And that's what he wants us to do when we come to work. Now, I think it's important, though, that we say what this book isn't about. Because this mm-hmm. book isn't about going to work and witnessing, inviting people to mm-hmm. church, no. putting up verses on your screensaver, or talking about people, how, you know, I'll put you on my prayer list and all that stuff, and stuff that mm-hmm. is Christianese stuff that the average person doesn't get and the other Christians find sometimes uncomfortable. This isn't about that. What this book is about is going to work and loving the people you work with and for, even though they're not very loving. Sometimes they're a nightmare. Sometimes they make you wish that you could prefer having your gums scraped, but that's who you work with. And what's interesting about work is that we don't get to choose the people we work with. It's like family. The people that show up at Thanksgiving, that's the family. You got to love them. Same thing with work. If we don't like the people we go to church with, we can go to another church. If we don't like the people we're on social media with, we can unfriend them. If we don't like the people we have in our little club or whatever, we can pick another one. But you can't do that about family and work. And just like God calls us to represent his heart at home and in our marriages, yeah. he does for work. And this book will show you what that's all about. Because, see, God told us, look, he made it simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus doubled down on that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the Last Supper, he's with the guys, and then he's going to buy us on the cross the next day. He says, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love as I've loved you. And see, when you look at just the people he's talking with there, they could have been called the 12 Yehus just as easily as the 12 disciples. And then all the people they encountered along the way. Tim,
you've used the word love a lot. And if I know our audience, mm-hmm. Some of our folks, that word resonates. Some of those folks might think, love in a workplace, that's kind of squishy. I don't know if I can love my colleagues. Maybe give them your definition.
Okay.
One of the most powerful definitions I've ever heard, and when people hear it, it puts the notion of love into perspective, particularly in the workplace.
Yeah, I like to define love this way. Love is a commitment of my will to your needs and best interests, regardless of the cost to me.
Yeah.
And so when we, if God has called us to love the people we work with, mm-hmm. it's a commitment of my will to their needs and best interests, regardless of the cost to us, well, then that's a whole different thing. But the cool thing is our book unpacks a way to do this that you'll find there's a lot of joy, a lot of fun, and it's actually doable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Tim, to that point, let's give our listeners kind of a taste of what's in the book, right?
Okay.
So there's kind of three main parts to it.
Yeah.
And in the first part, we consider it almost a diagnosis.
Yes.
Right? Before you get to a treatment, you have to understand what ails you so that you make sure you treat your underlying illness with the right treatments. And so in the first part of this book, what we really do is we just unpack what was God's design for work. How was that original design kind of changed by, you know, what happened in the Garden of Eden and the introduction of sin into mankind? We get into what are some of the myths that we buy into, because they're very subtle. The enemy is very insidious and very very crafty. So I think when you read those myths, I know some of our early readers were really convicted, like, wow, I bought into some of those things and didn't
so
even
easy.
Had bought into. Yeah. And then we get into what's our role. We talk about this notion of ambassadorship for the kingdom. And so we really unpack what does it mean to be an ambassador? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately we really again just set the stage to say, hey, this is the design for work. This is how it was changed. This is what your role is and how to think about it. And we start to then set the stage to say, okay, when you get yourself into that mindset, then the question is, what do I do? And that leads right into the second part. So Tim, why don't you give them an overview of that?
And the meat part of the book here, the solution part of the book is broken down. We take God's grace and we show you how it plays out in four very clear dimensions. It's the ones he does with us on an ongoing basis. Now we're turning around and being vessels of him and doing it, let him do it through us to the people there. And the first one is you're going to work and you're committed to using your words and actions to meet the driving inner needs of the people you work with. And what's interesting is most people don't know what they are. You will after you read this book. There are three of them. And you're going to find that not only is it good for what you're doing for them, it's good for how it affects you. And then we talk about these four wonderful freedoms that God's grace gives to us that we can turn around and bring them to work, giving people the freedom to be different and vulnerable and candid and imperfect, to be able to make mistakes and not cost us relationship. And then we the third level, third dimension is how God's grace can build our character muscles and help us be able to have more sustainability and resilience in that workplace and also bring that to the people there. And then the fourth dimension of his grace played out has to do with the trajectory of our life, where we're aiming our life. And we talk about what true greatness is in God's eyes, and it's such a contrast to how our world and our culture sees it, but it's so refreshing to the people on the receiving end of it.
Yeah. And I can say, Tim, you know, a lot of people would say, is this just a gimmicky book, a couple of, you know, checklists, things that we can do? It's really not. And I say that very, very humbly and very honestly, knowing that when we first met you, so when I say we, my wife and I met you, Tim, we started that we were really focused on our marriage and parenting. We had, you know, a three-year-old and a one-year-old or a newborn. And we started really trying to understand, okay, well, like what is a blueprint for how do you parent? And what is a blueprint for our marriage? And what we've seen is through this model that we unpack in this book, there's virtually no relationship that where there's some strange dynamic unfolding that I can't look at it through this model and pinpoint exactly where are some things going wrong. And not only where are they going wrong, but then what do you do to fix those relationships? Mm-hmm. And so whether that's, in the workplace, a lot of times it's just difficulty, there's friction with a colleague. I'm struggling with my boss. I'm leading a team and I'm just not sure how to build camaraderie and, you know, and a really good culture. And so this model, I will say, man, it works so well. And it's just a great set of hands. And so I think our readers will be really blessed. And I believe it's one of those books that when you read it, you'll say, this is now my handbook, right? This is my blueprint for how I build relationships and build culture. And it's, I've read it now, I think, you know, 8 or 10 times, obviously, right. As the author, you read your work a lot. But I can say there's such rich insights in this book that will really be helpful handholds for, people in the workplace.
Yeah.
And then we get into the third part. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so then we get into the third part, and what we say is, okay, now that you've got this model, it's fundamental to understand that whether you're a believer or not, the model that we give you in this book can be helpful, right? It can help you build better relationships and change the culture, but one of the things that we highlight in this book is that if you try to do it on your own strength, it effectively becomes just human nice. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not grace. It's not God's grace lived through you or played out through you. It's just your own human nice. And that may get you so far. But what we talk about in this third part of the book is what are the things that really, really supercharge your effort to change the workforce and to bring God's grace to work? And no surprise, it's actually your own relationship with Christ. It's actually allowing Christ to work through you. And if you can do that, right, then that really gives you a level of power and force behind this that is way more powerful than anything you could do on your own. And so what we do is we talk about some specific concepts, and some of those things are like basically margin in our life. How do we create margin with our time and our health and our sleep and our exercise? That if we can create margin, it allows us to be more attentive to God and to attentive to God's Spirit so that we can actually have the energy to do what we're trying to do here. Because it's very others focused, right, Tim? I mean, that's what it's basically saying. Instead of focusing on what you can get for yourself from your job, it's focusing on others and what can I bring to my job and bring to others in service of them.
Well, you know, this book is going to teach you how to bring the best out of the people you work with, because it's God bringing the better person out of you. It's one of these ones that it's just going to be aha moments page after page, and that's not because we wrote it. All we're telling you is what God has done. We're simply pointing to something, a transforming, game-changing a power that God makes available to all believers, his heart of grace, and how to make that happen. Now, we have four guests that we're going to be interviewing in the future podcast, and these are people, we've interviewed people from all different places in their faith journey, from seasoned Christians to new believers, and we talked to them about how grace has transformed their relationship at work. We have two men and two women that we're going to interview, and these are very cutting edge, leading edge, entrepreneurial type people. It's the octane they bring to their work and what they can do is amazing. But because they also invited Jesus along the way in their heart to make a difference, you will be blown away by the stories you hear. Now, look, if you're interested in knowing more about grace at work, the secret of getting more from your job than a paycheck, you can go to graceatworkbook.com, pick one up. They'll also be in bookstores, or you can go to Amazon. It's right there. Listen, we would love to talk more with you about it, but we got to bring this, land the plane here, and so that, but be paying attention to these next four podcasts coming out on this special edition of Grace-Based Families. And meanwhile, Michael, thanks so much for being part of this time with you, and God bless all of you. And listen, no, we'd love to hear from you. We're here to pray for you. Any way we can pray for you, let us know here at Grace-Based Families Podcast. God bless you all, and we'll look forward to visiting with our friends and telling you more about this book in the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Families Podcast. This is part of Grace-Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.